today. Is Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge,
your hometown voice.
And now your host, the Rogue announcer, Jeff Smith.
And I am Jeff Smith. Welcome to Rogue Talk. Got another great show planned for you today. Got a few things we're going to talk about. For those of you that follow us on Facebook, you'll know I posted this as another potpourri episode of Rogue Talk. Not one specific subject for the day, but we're going to cover a few things. Earlier today on Pastor Gigline's show, his morning show, Once for All, I was a guest on the show again, or actually kind of a co-host once again, and that's becoming a regular Friday segment for Once for All. I kind of represent the political side of things, and Pastor Gigline, of course, represents the Christian worldview, and we talk about certain things in the news. And on this morning's program, we talked to Kevin Starrett from the Oregon Firearms Federation, and we talked about mostly about a case of a conservative and pro-Second Amendment activist, Michael Strickland, who was recently convicted of 21 counts involving him using his gun. He has a concealed carry permit, and he was felt threatened at a protest that he was covering as part of his activist duties. And He pulled his gun, and there's a lot of things going on with this, and we tried to cover what we could as far as, getting the correct information. And so I would just encourage you to go and listen to that episode. Go to our website, 943thebridge.com, and click on the audio tab. Go to Once for All. I'm not sure if that's up yet. You may have to wait. Pastor Gigline's out of town this weekend, and that may not go up until Monday, so I apologize if it's not there at the moment. But when that goes up, I would encourage you to listen to it. It's an interesting story of this activist and his case. But one of the things that Kevin mentioned was about some upcoming legislation happening here in Oregon related to gun rights. And I was looking at some of the gun related legislative items, and there's quite a few, and it seems like, some of the stuff is just basically housekeeping kinds of things, trying to clarify different items, and that stuff is all good. But some of the things they're trying to change are, in my view, are another assault to our Second Amendment rights. And so we'll talk a little bit about that later on. I'm not going to get into the Michael Strickland case too much. If you, like I said, you can listen to our interview with Kevin coming up. As soon as it gets posted to the website. It's not up there yet, so you may have to wait until Monday on that. And I do apologize, but it was a good interview, and you can listen to the rest of the discussion on that subject. So we'll be talking a little bit about that later on, about what's happening with our gun rights here in Oregon. Also later in the show, we should be hearing from Autumn Cogdill, and of course she's the young lady from Rogue River Junior Senior High School, who is organizing a local homeless outreach project. And of course that project is tomorrow. The event that she's holding is tomorrow. So we're going to try and get her on the phone toward the end of the show, and we'll talk a little bit about what's going to be happening tomorrow and what you can do to help. And of course, if you can help get the word out, finding the homeless is sort of a sort of a tough thing at times. So if we can get the word out, of course there are, you know, certain homeless folks that kind of tend to hang out in the same areas and show up at the same places. And if we could get the word out to them, you know, if you have someone near maybe your business or something that could use the help of this outreach project, it's going to happen tomorrow in the Umpqua Bank parking lot. And we will talk to Autumn more about that. But if we can get the word out to let those folks know that this is a, you know, a pretty cool thing, a great way for them to go and get a haircut, maybe get some new clothes and get fed, of course. We'd love to get the word out. And again, probably the hardest part about this, and we'll ask Autumn about that, is just getting the word out to the homeless folks that, you know, don't really have an address, and a lot of them probably don't have methods of communication that most of us are used to, cell phones and emails and whatnot. So hopefully we can get the word out to them to get them over to that event. So we'll hopefully be talking to Autumn a little bit later. And finally, if we have any time left, we might talk a little bit about the fake news we've been hearing so much about and what that means and how it affects the political process. Because, of course, it's the term is being used as a lever by both sides on the political spectrum. And we'll talk, maybe if we have the time, we'll talk a little bit about what I see is really the problem with so-called fake news and what we can do to be more aware of where we get, you know, what our news sources are and how we can kind of backstop those news sources and make sure that we're getting, you know, the whole story. So if we have any time, we may talk about that a little bit. So moving on to some local news, of course, the snowpocalypse of 2017 cost the school district 6 days that they canceled school. And the district, in coordination with the school board, have been looking for the best ways to make up those days. And one of the things they've done, if you have kids in school, you know this, that they've added 12 minutes to the end of the school day for the rest of the school year. And this will gain them back about 2 of those 6 days. Now, I'm not sure if I've mentioned this on here before, but one of my questions about this whole process is these kids don't start school until 8:15 every day, except for Friday, and they don't start until 9. I don't know if it's exactly 9:15. They have a weird logarithm, I think, that they use to make the bell schedule. It's very odd times and a little bit confusing, but nonetheless, they're not starting right at 8 o'clock, and they're not starting right at 9 on Fridays. And my thought was, and I'm sure there's a lot of a lot of different reasons why these things don't go the way that you think would make sense, is why aren't we starting school at 8 o'clock? And instead of tacking, more time on at the end, or doing both even to make up even more time. And I'm sure that the unions, both the classified employees union and the teachers union, and I don't know if there's any other unions involved, but I'm sure they have something to say about it, of course, and they should. And then the school district and working with the state. Now, another way they can make up 2 more of these 6 days is apparently in the original schedule for the entire year, they have built in a certain amount of extra time over and above what the state minimum is. So it's not really extra time, but it does serve as a bit of a buffer. But however, to utilize those 2 extra days, they have to ask permission from the State Board of Education if they can take those days off of their schedule. Now, it still keeps them within the minimum, but, you know, we have to go and actually ask permission, which is sort of ridiculous. It's what's the point of having rules if you have to ask permission to live within those rules? It doesn't make a lot of sense, but nonetheless, that's the situation. And so with the support of the school board, Superintendent Paul Young was looking to ask the state to split the difference and say, we'll make up three of those days if you'll give us the other three. Well, they already had the other two, as we just mentioned. The third day, I guess, would be a freebie. I'm not sure how that works. I guess the state can do what they want. So if they want to grant us an extra day, they can do that. The problem with that is that still leaves us one day to make up. There's been some suggestions on how to make that day up. And I don't believe that's been settled yet, at least in the information I have. They're talking about certain days that were supposed to be like an in-service day that will now be a day with the students. You know, normally the in-service days, of course, the teachers are working, but the students are not at the school. So they're looking at one of those days possibly, but I don't believe that's been decided yet. And I'm not sure if the state has given the approval that they need for that extra, that third day. And again, I'm not sure why we don't just have the kids get to school at 8 o'clock and get rid of late start. Friday is late start day. They don't start till 9:12 or 9:15, whatever it happens to be. They can get there at 8 o'clock. In fact, it's probably easier for the parents if they didn't have late start at all. I'm not even sure why we put in the late start and why it's put in on Friday. If anything, let the kids out early on Friday instead of letting them come in late. If you want to have a late start day, put it on Monday. You know, nobody wants to get up and get going on Mondays. Students or parents, either one. We enjoy our weekends, and when Monday comes around, it's sometimes hard to get going. Why isn't late start on Mondays? But that's a whole nother issue. But anyhow, there's still a lot of it up in the air. They're still trying to get that ironed out. But the only thing that is happening for sure at the moment is the kids have already started going to school 12 minutes longer every day. And I'm not sure what that accomplishes, but I guess it makes the state happy. So as long as the state is happy, we keep getting all of our funds that they basically blackmail us with if we don't do things the way they want us to. So moving on to some lighter notes also related to the school, and I'll see if I can get these names in front of me. The only sports going on right now for the high school and the middle school, of course, Lady Junior Chieftain basketball is going on, as well as wrestling at the middle school or the junior high school, and then wrestling for the high school. So quickly, the Lady Junior Chieftains, they were able to defeat Shady Cove earlier this week. So we'll send a shout out to them. And I believe they've only got one game left on their schedule. And no, I think actually they're, yeah, next Monday looks like is their last game of the season. I don't have the results from their trip or their game against Roush, but earlier in the week they did defeat Shady Cove. So shout out to the Junior Chieftain ladies team. And over at the wrestling championships, we had quite a few kids that placed, and I'll see if I can get these right for you here. My list is a little messy, but we'll try and get it. John Stanley, I believe, was a second place finisher, and I'm trying to find who the other second place. There was another second place, and also, and I may mess this name up, and I'll try and get it here. Aaron Fehrenbacher was also a second place finisher, and also placing at the tournament was Danny Herrinks. He finished third. Caden Tognani also finished third. Mark Bandy was third, and Bo Bates finished fourth. Also, Tony Isom and Dalton Sunseri were third place finishers. So congratulations to all those young men for really showing how well the Chieftain wrestling program is doing, and moving over to the high school wrestling program, the Chieftains have one representative heading to the state tournament, and we want to give a huge shout out to Gabe Ishidi. Gabe was a second place finisher at the district tournament, and he will head to the state tournament. So we'll be rooting for Gabe to continue to do well for the high school wrestling team. And that's going to be all of the local news and sports I've got for you for this segment. So we will take a break here, and when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about Oregon gun rights. So don't go away.
You're listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge.
We are live outside the home of Joe and Rosie Goddard, where a pretty big tickle fight broke out just minutes ago. Sources say their father instigated the laughter. Let's go inside for a comment. Apparently, they have no comment. Dads, let this be a reminder that it only takes a moment to make a moment. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Radio without all that junk. You're listening to 94.3 The Bridge.
With SRN Sports, I'm Michael Harrington. Let's check and see what happened in the NBA yesterday. Golden State continues winning. This time they stopped the Clippers 123-113. Steph Curry says they were on top of their game in the third quarter when they outscored the Clips 50-26.
We were happy to be back in the game and taking the lead and getting back to who we are after halftime. So I was surprised it was 50. Then you look at that other number, 26, that's huge. When you can continue to put the pressure on them defensively and turn it into offense.
Around the rest of the league yesterday, Sacramento stopped Denver 116-100. It was the Cavaliers over the Knicks 119-104. Houston got the better of New Orleans, big 129-99. It took overtime, but the Pistons beat Charlotte 114-108. Portland 112, Orlando 103. This is SRN Sports. The NBA trade deadline came and went yesterday, and some teams were busy. The Thunder picked up reinforcements for Russell Westbrook, getting forwards Taj Gibson and Doug McDermott from the Bulls. The Thunder also get a second-round pick in the 2018 draft for Cameron Payne, Joffrey Lavernier, and Anthony Morrow. A person familiar with the situation says Deron Williams is interested in joining the Cleveland Cavaliers after being waived by the Mavericks. The Nuggets have added another big man for the stretch run, acquiring Roy Hibbert from the Bucks and a protected second-round pick in 2019. AP Top 25 College Basketball yesterday. Number 1 Gonzaga stays undefeated, crushing San Diego 96-38. Number 4 Arizona over USC 90-77. Number 5 UCLA beat Arizona State 87-75. In the NHL, it was the Islanders 3, Montreal nothing. Calgary beat Tampa Bay by a 3-2 score. Nashville 4 and Colorado 2. This is SRN Sports.
Hello, Kubo. What have you got planned for today?
Come on, this way.
Adventure can be found anywhere, but the best place to start is in the forest.
It's the most powerful magic there is.
Head outside to discover incredible animals.
Wow.
And beautiful plants that come together to create an unforgettable adventure. So grab your loved ones and explore a world of possibilities. Visit discovertheforest.org to find the closest forest or park to you. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
Beating and just hope they don't die.
Kevin, before we let you go, we know with your work with the Oregon Firearm Federation, you keep an eye on the legislative sessions coming up, and there's a lot of firearm bills facing Oregon. Before we let you go, what are maybe the most concerning that we should be keeping our attention on?
Well, the bill that we think is going to get the most, the quickest hearing is a bill that, Kate Brown is demanding. I think the number is 797, and basically what it says is if you go to buy a gun, you're required to ask for permission to buy a gun from the state police. The state police then conduct a background check on you. If their background check is faulty, if they make mistakes, which they make constantly, then they can say you can't have the gun, and either we're delaying you or we're denying you. Under current law, if you're delayed and the state police simply don't do their job, you are lawfully allowed to take possession of that gun after 3 business days have transpired, which actually means 5 days. What Kate Brown is trying to do is eliminate that safeguard. And I should point out that very few dealers will transfer under those circumstances because both ATF, the Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, and the state police have lied to them and threatened them and said, if you do these transfers, we're going to shut you down. But it's still technically lawful to do the transfer after that time has transpired. What this bill is attempting to do is to say, no, that safeguard is gone. If the state police delay you, they can delay you forever. For me, for a lot of people who own guns, that would be a really irritating inconvenience. But for somebody whose life is in danger, who's hadn't purchased a gun before, who's fearful protecting herself and her children, now this could be a potential death sentence.
That was the voice of Kevin Starrett from the Oregon Firearms Federation, and that's from the interview that we did with Kevin on Once for All on this morning's show. And the bill he's talking about, HB 2237, this is one that Governor Kate Brown is pushing really hard for. And as you heard in the clip, and you can have, you know, everybody can have their own opinions about what the waiting period should be, how long it should take for the background check to be done by the state police. And that's a legitimate discussion. But the problem with what this bill would do is it would allow the state indefinitely to delay a gun sale. And they don't have to have any reason for it. The way the law is now, it protects your Second Amendment rights by allowing you to buy a gun and not allow the state to hold it up for unreasonable reasons. Of course, a legitimate background check is, for most people, is a no-brainer. There's not too many gun rights activists that are against background checks. We don't want people that, you know, are clearly going to be unsafe to be buying weapons, but allowing the state to indefinitely delay the sale is very onerous, and it's very typical of Oregon. I'd love to hear from you on this subject if you'd like to call in, and I've got a little bit of special incentive here for people that want to call into the show. And remember, we will also later toward the end of the show be talking to Autumn Cogdill, who is has her homeless outreach project going on tomorrow. But if you'd like to call in and talk on the show, I do have, for the first two callers that I take on the line or on the air, I have a $5 gift certificate to Rogue Express, so you can get some free coffee. I'll put you on the air, and you can let me know how you feel about this. And that number is 541-299-0498. Once again, 541-299-0498. And call in, and if it puts you on hold and you can hear the show in the background, you know that I'll be getting to you soon. If it sends you to a voicemail or a busy signal, you'll have to try again. I can only take one call at a time. We actually have a system for more of that, but I'm not comfortable using that system yet. So once I learn that, we can do more of that. But I'd love to hear from you what you think about that. And talking about this new law that Kate Brown is pushing for, it made me think of last year when the state of Oregon passed a bill that basically it makes you not having possession of your gun at all times illegal. And what I mean by that is, if you had a situation where maybe you're feeling depressed, maybe your wife left you, or one of your children is sick in the hospital, and you're not really in the best state of mind, and you go to a friend and you say, hey, I'd like you to hang on to my gun for me. Can you store it in your safe for me? I know you're a gun owner and you have a gun safe and you can keep it safely, but I don't feel comfortable having it in the house right now for whatever reason. Or maybe one of your teenagers is acting strangely and you're trying to deal with that, and you don't want that gun in the house. Well, that law that they passed last year would make that illegal. So you're trying to protect your family by having the gun, but then you're also trying to protect your family if you feel like, in this situation, I need to have this gun out of the house. I don't need it to be around here. If you have your friend or even family member take possession of that gun, you're both breaking the law. And that was one of the really onerous gun laws that Oregon has passed. And of course, Oregon is always, I'm looking at this agenda of bills just for 2017, and we're only a couple months in. I mean, it's dozens of bills. Now, again, as I mentioned before, some of this is, kind of housekeeping things and adjustments to other bills that needed some clarification. And those are fine, and they're definitely necessary. Some of these bills have to do with the Fish and Wildlife Commission, their rules for cougar hunting. And I mean, there's all sorts of, reasons for these bills, but several of these bills are looking to further restrict the gun laws. And again, I'm seeing dozens of these bills, and let me just give a quick count. 3, 4, 5, at least 6 of these, 7 of these that I can identify are further putting a restriction on something that is protected in the Constitution. And I know, there's a lot of discussion about, people that apparently don't know what, words mean and want to put their own meaning into the fairly simple words that make up the Second Amendment of the Constitution. The grammar involved, they want to point out a comma or a semicolon, and it's really kind of ridiculous. And in fact, I wish I had it in front of me. There's a new law or a new ruling, and I'm not getting this straight. I just heard about this today, and I want to say it's in New Hampshire, and I'm sorry that I don't have it in front of me, but basically they're trying to say, and I don't know if this has been something that's been put into place or if it's something they're trying to put into place, that any kind of weapon that can be used or could be or would be used in war, that you can't own that. Well, let's take a look at that. First of all, most of your members of the Army are issued handguns. Yes, they carry other guns depending on what their job is and what, what they're supposed to be doing. And they're trained in all different types of firearms. But they're, with probably very few exceptions, they're issued firearms and handguns. Well, this just doesn't make any sense. I mean, the best way to protect yourself, the best way of protecting yourself with a firearm is going to be a handgun. It's the most versatile way of personal protection, at least by means of a firearm. So that's that law, and it's just on its face is completely ridiculous. But let's go look back into history and go back to the start of the country. That would say that your musket, you cannot own a musket because that would have been used in war. Well, yeah, that was the only kind of firearms we had back in during the founding of the country. And it just shows how ridiculous a law like that is. And again, I'm not super you know, Mr. Second Amendment, Mr. NRA. In fact, I'm not a member of the NRA. I'm not a hunter, although I have nothing against hunting. I've just never been in that, never been really exposed to hunting. But I support hunters. But the Second Amendment isn't about hunting, and it's not even really about personal protection. The main idea of the Second Amendment was to protect ourselves against our government. And it seems kind of funny that the same people that want to grab your guns and want to restrict the Second Amendment are the same people right now that are calling President Trump Hitler. And you would think they may want to have those Second Amendment protections in case he really is Hitler. Now, I think that's a ridiculous statement, and I don't really care what you think about President Trump. I'm not a huge fan. I did vote for him because I'm a conservative and it seemed like the better choice. But I'm not a huge Trump supporter. But to call the president of our country Hitler is a little ridiculous. It's also a little reckless, but it points out the hypocrisy of going after these gun laws and going after the Second Amendment. If he's as bad as you think he is, you're going to want those guns. You're going to need those guns because that's exactly what the Second Amendment was for, was to protect you from the government, you know, an oppressive government or, you know, a lawless government. And now, granted, even owning firearms, if the military was part of the government that was carrying out their oppression, yeah, you may not stand a chance of protecting yourself against the weapons of war that the army has, but you don't have any chance without your firearms. So, again, I, you know, without really taking sides on things, I'm kind of a letter of the law kind of person. That's why I'm a conservative. I'm a bit of a libertarian about certain things, but we are supposed to be a country of laws, not a country of men. That's why I reject the way that President Trump was elected, much like I reject the way that President Obama was elected, because they were both cults of personality. And that's a bit of a disturbing trend in this country. I'm not a fan of celebrity. I want to watch Steph Curry play basketball because he's an amazing basketball player, but I don't care what he does when he goes home. I don't care what his political opinions are. And so I don't want celebrity when it comes to the president, the most important leader in the world, the leader of the free world, as we say. I don't want them to be a cult of personality. I want them to be a strong leader. And I actually think President Trump is, in a lot of ways, is a strong leader. But he was elected by a lot of people that kind of put their values aside in order to elect him. And, I mean, I had to put mine aside a bit to pull the lever for him. But I'm not going to support him in those things that I disagree with. I'm going to push back on those things, and I expect other people to. But again, this Second Amendment issue is precisely there for a government that would turn on the people. And I just think it's a little disingenuous for the people that attack it. You know, they're going to be looking for it, you know, pretty soon, if things turn out the way they're telling us. And I'm not sure most of these people really believe the things they're saying. You know, it's scare tactics, and I get that. You know, both sides can definitely participate in that. But it just becomes a little bit of a contradiction when I take California, for instance. There's a big push in California. They want to secede from the union. And then, you know, not a couple of weeks after they, you know, we're hearing all these things about secession. And then they're wanting government aid for all the flooding and the you know, the Orville Dam and all the things going on there because of all of the weather they've been getting. Well, again, it shows the hypocrisy of some of the people that are involved in the politics of this country, whether it be, you know, from a state or from the federal government. And so, you know, I'd love to hear if any of you have, you know, an opinion on this. I'd love to hear from you. That phone number again is 541-299-0498. 541-299-0498. And anybody calls in, the first couple of people that call in today, if I get anybody to call in, I do have a $5 gift card from Rogue Express. Get you some coffee. And so I'd love to hear from you on that. And as those of you that listen to my sports broadcast here on 94.3 The Bridge, you know that often I have some help from someone that's close to me. He's my brother, but we call him Mike in the Truck, and he got me a little bit of information here on the bill I was talking about, and that was in New Hampshire, and that's HB 407, and it would keep the police from possessing any military equipment not readily available in an open national commercial market. And it is still in committee. It has not been passed yet. But without seeing all of the details of this, it's hard to make too much of a judgment, but it seems a little broad to me. And again, I'll walk on both sides of that one. I am not a fan of militarizing the police departments by any means. However, I guess your definition of militarizing is where the problem really becomes. Who gets to decide what constitutes availability in an open national commercial market? That's a pretty broad characterization of things, or a broad definition, and unless they're going to narrow that well, I'm going to be honest, I don't agree with it at all at this point. But unless they were going to narrow it way down, I don't think it's a good law. Now it's in New Hampshire. It doesn't affect us here in Oregon, but it does. It sets a precedent. And, you know, we've talked about that a little bit here on the air before. Something that I'm also not a big fan of is precedent. It gets used too much in our government. And, you know, it can be used, you know, everything that happens within the government can be considered precedent. Our branches of government are supposed to be co-equal branches. So just as much as a court decision by the Supreme Court is precedent, also an executive order by a president is also precedent. And we're seeing a lot of pushback in that respect right now. Unfortunately, when you live by the sword, you die by the sword. And for 8 years, President Obama did a lot of things with executive order. And executive orders are intended to give direction to the executive branch on how to carry out laws that are in place. They're not intended to make laws or to change laws. So the precedent that President Obama set was he started doing what the courts have gotten, you know, to do a lot, and trying to make law, even though their particular branch of the government is not supposed to make laws. And now what we're seeing is President Trump is using those executive orders to cancel some of President Obama's executive orders, and it's causing a lot of pushback from the left and a lot of protests, a lot of them paid for by the likes of George Soros. But a lot of those people are, you know, legitimate constituents of whatever town hall they're at, and they're pushing back about this. But the problem is they're finding out that when you live for 8 years with the ends justify the means, or the mean did I say that right? Then you have to live with the consequences of that. And again, I don't want to make this an attack on President Obama, because I didn't agree with a lot of his policies, but it is an attack on his use of his executive order to try and make law. For instance, this controversy about what we're going to do with, you know, different illegal immigrants. And even President Trump has said about the DACA program that he's not there yet. He's not comfortable with eliminating the DACA program, at least not yet. But again, that's an executive order. I'm not even sure if that one was an executive order or that one. I think it was. DACA was an executive order, but it was making new law. It was giving rights to people that he didn't have the power to give those rights. And, you know, and President Trump's in a tough spot with that one, because, you know, contrary to what a lot of the, you know, the crazies are saying about Trump, he's got plenty of flaws, don't get me wrong, but I really do think he is a compassionate person. And I don't think he knows what to do with the DACA, with the individuals that fall under DACA. So again, if you're gonna allow things to be run a certain way, you've set the precedent. And now if, you know, Trump wants to run the government the way Obama did, and in a way, that's what he's doing right now. And, you know, part of that is because Congress is basically sitting on their hands right now. But he's, you know, and now in most cases, again, he's reversing things that were done by the Obama administration. But they're still executive orders. So, again, it's kind of amusing if you're going to get upset with Trump by ruling by executive order. And I'm not a fan by any means. You've got to say, well, we had 8 years of precedence on that. And, you know, and in this case, again, a lot of what he's doing is reversing those things. So that's about all I've got to say on that. I kind of got off on a tangent there, but it is all interesting stuff that's in the news and things that we need to pay attention to. And again, if you support the Second Amendment, especially here in Oregon, you really need to pay attention to what's going on in the legislature here in Oregon, because they're looking for every opportunity to restrict our gun rights. And it's something we need to pay attention to. So, you know, keep up with that. And we're still hoping to get Autumn on. I'm just waiting to hear from her, and we'll get her on the air. And the other thing I mentioned was about the fake news. And that term is getting to be a pretty tired term at this point. But it does point out a real problem that we've had with the media in this country for really quite some time. It didn't start with the election of President Trump. And it's the fact that if you're not seeking out your news from more than one source, you're not getting the whole story. And it doesn't matter who you're getting it from. I'm not pointing this at any one, you know, agency or any one company. Although I would say that if you're watching MSNBC, you're only getting one side of the story. And if you're watching Fox News, and not so much the news, the actual news part of the program on either one of these stations, but the more the editorial programs, which makes up a good portion of their day, again, you're not getting both sides of the story. That goes without saying. But it carries over to the other news agencies. It carries over to CNN. It carries over to ABC, CBS, NBC. They all have an agenda with almost every story. Now, they may put their agenda aside and they may report things fairly evenly, and I think in most cases they try and do that. But I can't hide my agenda when I'm talking about an issue, and this is not a political show, but I still let, you know, my beliefs come out because that's who I am and that's what I'm gonna let you know about. But, you know, and again, when, you know, like the interview on this morning show on Once for All, you know, I did my best to play devil's advocate and make sure we weren't leaving anything out. But I don't think we got the whole story. You know, and part of that is a time constraint. And part of that is there's just not a lot of extra information out there because, believe me, I looked for it. But unfortunately, you know, I don't know how many people have seen it, but CNN has had a bunch of leaked audio given to Project Veritas, which is people that have done some, you know, undercover things, trying to expose different things. And I'll let you look them up. I'm not going to promote them here, but they've received a bunch of audio from CNN, and it points out, at least some of the audio that's been looked at so far, you know, it really shows the biases at CNN. And again, I'm not singling them out. I think this happens with every news agency. And so I try and get, you know, I, being a conservative, I don't even watch Fox News. I don't need to hear what they say. I already know what my opinion is. I don't need them to tell me what my opinion is. So I seek out sources like Huffington Post or BuzzFeed, even, you know, ones that are generally not conservative friendly. I want to see what their take is. I want to see what facts they have and make sure that, you know, I'm not messing this thing up. But again, I still have my opinions and my biases, and they're going to come out as they will with anyone. But I would just challenge everyone to have more than one source before you take, you know, before you take a stand on something. Make sure you've got all the facts, and we can eliminate the fake news just by, you know, by checking it with other sources. So I'm going to run out of time for this segment. Hopefully I'm going to get Autumn on the line here. We're going to take a break, and if I can get Autumn on the line, we'll talk to her. If not, I'll try and give you the most information about tomorrow's homeless outreach project that I can. But we'll take a break here, and we'll be back with more Rogue Talk. Don't go away.
You're listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge. The Bridge.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. The White House is defending Chief of Staff Reince Priebus against accusations he breached a government firewall when he asked FBI Director James Comey to publicly dispute media reports that Trump campaign advisors have been frequently in touch with Russian intelligence agents. Spokesman Sean Spicer says Priebus had little choice in seeking FBI assistance in rebutting what Spicer said were inaccurate reports. Reporters from news organizations, including the New York Times, the Los Angeles Times, CNN, and Politico, have been barred today from taking part in an informal, on-the-record White House press briefing. The Associated Press chose not to participate in what's known as a gaggle. CNN released a statement calling the action retaliation by the Trump White House for reporting, quote, facts they don't like, unquote. On Wall Street, the Dow by 11 points to a record 20,822. The NASDAQ rose 10. The S&P advanced 3.5. This is SRN News.
Keeping you informed, giving you the good news. You're listening to 94.3 The Bridge, your hometown voice.
Oh, I wish there was a way to find out what events are going on in Rogue River.
There is.
There is?
Yeah, the website for 94.3 The Bridge.
They have Rogue River events on their website?
Yeah, for Gold Hill, Weimar, and Grants Pass, too. You can even submit your own event for everyone in town to see. And if it's on the website, they automatically talk about it on the radio, too.
That's awesome. What's the address to this site?
It's 943thebridge.com.
N-I-N.
No. Just type the numbers. 943thebridge.com.
Oh, 943thebridge.com. Hey, look, they have the latest local news on there, too.
They have everything on there. 943thebridge.com.
My savings are gone.
Okay, where were they last?
Here, right before I spent them on that vacation to Aruba.
Weird. Not weird. Not saving now means no money later. For free ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
welcome back to Rogue Talk. And now, just as I promised, joining me on the phone is the organizer of the Homeless Outreach Project here in Rogue River. Welcome back to Rogue Talk, Autumn Cogdill.
Hi, how are you?
I am good. So your project is coming up tomorrow. Give us the details on that once again, and then we'll find out how people can help.
So as of now, pretty much everything is in order. I've gotten a lot of donations of clothing and people willing to come in the morning and set up. And so we're going to be offering, just as promised, haircuts for the homeless people and needy in our community, clothing, a warm lunch, and some hygiene products. And that's going to be from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. And if you're wanting to, like, come and help set up, that's going to be at 8 a.m. to set up, and we're going to need help taking everything down and loading everything back up that we don't get rid of. And that's probably going to be, you know, till about 6-ish. So really just looking for people to come and help out where they can is going to be the biggest thing.
Okay, so you've got stuff going on all day. The actual project is from, you said, 10 to 4.
Yeah.
But you need those volunteers around 8 o'clock to help set up, and probably need some volunteers for teardown. Now, at the end of the event, I'm going to guess you'll probably have a lot of these donated items left over that you don't that you don't give away. What are your plans for those items?
So there are some kids at our school, actually, that are homeless, or not even just homeless, just in need of some hygiene products and personal care. So what we're going to do is we're going to package those up and make little, like, goodie boxes, kind of, and give them to the students at the school. And then whatever's left over after I do that is going to go to some of the mission houses and the missions in Grants Pass and Medford. So.
Well, that's great news. And so with one day left, I'm going to guess that probably the best thing we can do, other than obviously helping you out tomorrow at the event, between now and then would be to try and get the word out to the homeless population. Has that been the toughest thing about this project, is actually getting the word out to people that really aren't connected the way we are?
Yeah, for sure. That's definitely been a huge struggle, is getting people, you know, letting them know that it's happening, where it's at, because, like, social media is a great outlet for people who can afford, you know, wireless internet and cell phones. But if you're homeless, odds are you're not going to be able to have that capability. So that's definitely been something that's hard so far. But I'm just hoping, you know, if people see someone in town that looks like they are in need of stuff, you know, they'll let them know about it. And one way or another, we're going to end up helping out someone. So,
yeah, and I think so, and I think that's a good attitude about it. Is, you know, if you help one person, it's worth it. Obviously, we'd like to help much more, and we know that those people are out there. But it's that giving spirit, and the, you know, wanting to just give somebody that step up. And I've said this before, but I mean, I salute you for this whole undertaking, and for a high school junior to take on a project like this. It really says something about your drive, and you know, I think you're going to do really good tomorrow.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
That means a lot.
Well, and we've got about a minute or so left, so I got you on the line. Of course, you're also one of our Miss Rogue River scholarship pageant contestants, and
sure am.
This outreach is actually helping you with that. Tell us how that works a little bit.
So my platform for my for the pageant is actually the Homeless Outreach Project. So basically, every girl in the pageant has to have something that she's doing for the community to kind of, you know, show, like, her character and, like, what she wants to do for the community. So I'm actually, before I even knew I was doing the pageant, I was already planning this. It just so happened to work out to where I had this to kind of be my platform and to help out the community. So it worked out well. But, I just think community service is pretty much where my heart is set. And this is just a good example of what I'm passionate about. So
Yep. Well, I'm happy that you're doing it. I'm happy that you're involved with both your outreach and the Miss Rogue River, because that means I get to spend more time with you. And I just think that you're a neat kid. I really like all the girls involved. But I'm so happy that you're doing this, and I'm so glad that you could come on today. So thank you for joining me on Rogue Talk.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
You bet. And everybody, if you can help in any way, get the word out to the homeless, or get over there and help Autumn out tomorrow at Umpqua Bank parking lot. And that's all the time we've got, so be good to one another, because Rogue Talk
You've been
is
listening
over
to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge. Listen to Rogue Talk with Jeff Smith Fridays at 3 p.m. right here on Rogue River's hometown voice, 94.3 The Bridge, or on demand at 943thebridge.com.